Lesson, well, we're 17 lessons into this, understanding the Bible, and in parentheses, because I always say something, and I didn't last week, but I may this week in passing, understanding the Bible translations. And the only reason I put that in there, it's always a question if somebody has an NIV, an RSV, an ASV, or anything besides a King James, and that's your business what you carry or what you pack. We just believe around here the King James Bible, the 1611 authorized version, is the Word of God without error, without apology. So if you have one of the other more modern translations, you'll find verses missing, phrases missing, and that takes from the number one deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes from the doctrine of the Word of God, and it changes doctrine in the Word of God. And so, therefore, people ask, well, why does that church, they don't believe like we believe, and right. I've been asked this 1,000 times. Why are there so many different denominations? Well, that's because folks want it this way. The people that founded the Jehovah's Witnesses wanted it that way. The Mormons wanted it this way. And on it goes. So, we take a stand on the Word of God, the 1611, so that's where we're at. So last week we finished up some good thoughts on our salvation, the love of God, different things like that. This week, as we progress, and I wrote this, studied for it and began to write on it Saturday, I just entitled it The Holy Spirit. And I believe that the Holy Spirit oft time is misunderstood, misappropriated. People say, well, I don't really understand the Holy Spirit. And so we'll share some verses. My text today is in Ephesians. The Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesian people in chapter 1, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted. And he's talking to a group of people like this, saved folks, mostly everybody saved. And I'm assuming, obviously, there's that chance somebody might not be saved, but that's okay. But talking to the Ephesian people, this new church, these saved folks, he says, in whom ye also trusted. So we know he's talking of the Lord Jesus Christ. After that ye heard the word of truth. And boy, that's it, man. That's it. And by the way, back in his day when he wrote this, there weren't any other translations. Nothing was... They only had the Word of God. That's it. So the issue didn't come about till years later. But so, in whom also ye have trusted after ye have heard the Word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, and then he puts this on the end, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. This capital S. Pastor talked about it Wednesday night. The personification of words in the King's English or the English language generally means a surname, or it means a personality, a person. So here he's talking about the Holy Ghost of God, or the Holy Spirit, as it's said here, of promise. With that thought, we would say, let me start like this. At the moment of your salvation, whether you were 12, 6, 5, 25, 50, 80, at the moment of your salvation, God himself came to live within you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me first talk about this a moment in my childhood. When I was a child, I didn't know a lot. Still don't know a lot. I just don't tell anybody too much about that, but at 12 years old, I sure didn't know, and I couldn't have told you anything about the Holy Spirit of God. I'm kind of like that guy that was blind in there that the Lord healed. And they said, who hath done this, or who hath sinned? And he said, I don't know. Once I was blind, but now I see. That's kind of how I was with salvation when I was 12 years old. Man, I couldn't tell you what happened, but I knew something happened. Brother Tom got saved pretty young too. He tells the testimony. Jeremiah got saved at a young age. A lot of people get saved at a young age and they don't even know there's 66 books in the Bible. They're not Bible theologians. They don't know anything. But they know this. They have a presence of mind to know that people die. And obviously they go someplace. And we'd like to think everybody went to heaven, but we know we don't. And because of that wrecking in our heart, we know we have the propensity. We know we're going to die, and we have the propensity to do all the wrong things. Lie, cheat, steal. So with that on you, oh, that's going to send me to hell. Yeah, that old nature you got wants to do all those things. And that's what worked on me at 12 years old. I heard preaching. I was around the Word of God, heard preaching. And I remember telling my mom, I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to get saved. I didn't even know how to do that. I didn't know nothing about it. And she sat down and gave me some verses, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And she fabricated, said, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, she put me in there, that if Philip shall confess with his mouth. And I thought, man, okay, that's talking to me. Yeah, that's talking to you. The Word of God will talk to you, man. And so at the moment you got saved, no matter how old you were, God himself, the Holy Spirit of God, came to live within you in the person of the Holy Spirit. And I'll give you a verse or two on that in just a moment. But if that's true, and that is true, then he lives within you. And as you grow in the Lord, you become more able to identify with that and understand that there's the presence of God with you. You might not understand it all, but as you grow in grace and knowledge, you become strong and you grow up in the Lord. But what does that mean for your life on a daily basis, if the Holy Spirit's there on a daily basis? How does the Holy Spirit work in your life? These are questions we might ask. Is it mysterious and mystical? Some would have you think that it is. Or is it real and practical? And I would like the latter. To draw your attention to the latter, the realness of it, the practicality of it. So before Jesus was crucified, he explained to his disciples that he would soon be leaving them, but the Holy Spirit would take his place in their lives. That's basically what he said. And your first verse that I want to share with you is John 14, verse 16. And John was near, loved the Lord, was near him all the time. He's one of the apostles that the Bible says, and he leaned upon his breast. He was right close to him. The Lord loved John. John loved the Lord with a great degree. So John writes, and he says in John 14, 16, and I will pray the Father. He's telling you what, he's recording what Jesus had said, and I will pray the Father, these are the words of Christ, and he shall give you another comforter, and that's a capital C, so that's a person, that he may abide with you forever. And we know that the Holy Spirit is called the comforter. Through the New Testament, he's always referred to as the comforter, many other things, but that's one of the titles. So the Holy Spirit is God. He is part of the Trinity. We talked on the Trinity weeks ago, and we talked about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and the triuneness of God. And the Bible uses the phrase, the Godhead. Now, in the other translations, they take that out. Say, why? Well, they don't want you to think there's three persons of the Godhead. Well, I won't go chasing rabbits here. So the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit indwells our hearts that very moment we trust Christ as our Savior, as I had said earlier. And from that point on, he begins ministering to our hearts in tender and significant ways. He's very gentle. And I think Jeremiah had a message on the gentleness. Wasn't that Sunday night? Last Sunday night? I can't remember. He can't either, so it's okay. One of the downsides, Brother Tom, when you pastor, you don't remember what. If you don't write it down, you won't remember it, man. And you just thought it was his memory. It's not. Just, it was Wednesday, so I couldn't remember. I told you it was a problem. So I have three major points that we'll talk about. He is the divine comforter, number one. Number two, he guides you to all truth. That's the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, he strengthens you for service. And if I get to it, if I had a fifth point, he empowers your witness. But that's the Holy Spirit and how he works in your life. And when you get saved, when you're young, you don't know any of this stuff. But you grow up in the Lord and you have a tendency to want to please God. You want to listen to God. You want to do what God wants. Now, the flesh, on the other hand, Romans chapter 7 says, no, you're going to want to go out here and go boating on Sunday because the weather's just right and the crop you're running. But the Spirit's going to say, no, crappie's only going to feed you physically, but the Word of God's going to feed you spiritually. And the Holy Spirit on the inside of you says, yeah, you're starving to death spiritually, so you better get in on that. Say, man, them fish sure would be good. You can eat fish on Monday. Church is on Sunday. Got me to preaching here already. All right. He is the divine comforter. John 14, 26. These are your power verses when we study the work of the Holy Spirit of God in the New Testament believer. John 14, 26. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. Man, I like that. He's there working on you. In another place, I think in Corinthians, he says, the natural man, meaning the person that never got saved yet, isn't saved, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're spiritually discerned. And the natural man does not have the Holy Ghost of God dwelling inside of him. He still has three parts. He has a body, this hunk of flesh you see here. He has a body. He has a spirit because he's able to, an emotional seat, if you please. The spirit of man, the body of man, the spirit of man. And then he has the soul. That's the innermost seat where the love comes from, the discernment comes from, the intellect comes from. That's if you ever wondered why an animal can't build a bridge. I know they say monkeys use tools. Yeah, okay. It's because they don't have that soul, that intellect of a soul. Now, I just threw that. It's not in the lesson. But having a body, soul, and spirit, but a saved person that trusts Christ, the Holy Spirit comes down into him and unites, if you please, let me use the word, marries the Spirit of God, hooks up, becomes part of the Spirit of man, that other part of the Spirit of man, and they're knit together, and now he has the Spirit of God and the Spirit of man. That's how it was in the garden before the fall. And when God departed from Adam and Eve, he left. You say, well, Adam's still breathing air. Yeah, still thinking. Yeah, still picking fruit. Yeah, he can do all those things. But the Spirit of God wasn't there. And I got news for you. When you don't have the Spirit of God, you're in darkness. I got news for you. You don't have the Spirit of God in, you're headed for hell. That's what's wrong with the human race. They need the Holy Ghost of God. And so he made a way. That's what we talked about last week, salvation. Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Those people that died in the Old Testament, if you please, they died on credit till Jesus could die. He wrote the law. Say, how many people went to hell? A lot of people, just like today. A lot of people. Because they refused to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, he's the comforter. Point number one, and I gave you John 14, 26, but right there in John 15, another verse that helps us understand the comforter. John 15, 26, but when the comforter, again, every time he uses the word comforter, it's a capital C, so it's the Holy Ghost. But when the comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. And by the way, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But if the Godhead is real, if the Trinity is real, then the same Jesus Christ that is the truth, the Holy Spirit is the truth. And this verse says it. He says, the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And he does. The Holy Spirit never brings attention to himself. He brings attention to the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a sweet spirit. He doesn't need preeminence because he is part of the Godhead. So there I gave you John 14:26, John 15:26. There in John 16, and John was quite a writer on these subjects and this doctrine. And we need this. A lot of folks in Christendom kind of messed up on the doctrine of the Holy Ghost and what he does, the Comforter, and what he's able to do, what he wants to do. And we just have a normal fleshly propensity to go against righteousness and holiness. me the same way, man. It's a battle. Romans chapter 7 talks about that battle between the flesh and the spirit. Man, the flesh and the carnal side of life wants to do all those things where the spirit says, no, you know, balance that out a little bit. And it may not be sin to you to do some of that stuff, but the Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and sin. If it's not a sin and you have the liberty to do it, watch out. It might become a weight. And by the way, you're running in a race. And I watch my grandsons run the race on track. I say MJ runs some track. Little Joe might be running some track. I don't know who all runs track there. Might be some other ones running track. Zay Zay runs track. Isaiah. All these kids got nicknames of some kind. I watch them. They run like little antelopes too. You know what? If you take, and you know, they got their running shorts on. They got their running shirt on. Their running shoes on. You get them down there at the starting line, give them that pep talk. Now, I want you to win this race. And they're looking at you like, yes, sir. Yeah, Grandpa, I'm going to win. You know I'm going to win. Now, whoa, wait a minute. Put this raincoat on, big old heavy rubber raincoat. And put these galoshes on, these big old heavy rain boots. They're looking at you like, man, no, there's nothing wrong with a raincoat and a rain hat and galoshes. Yeah, but I can't win no race in these things. That's how the Christian life is. If we're weighted down with all the cares, there may be good things, but we got to lay aside, he said, lay aside every weight and sin, so some of it isn't sin, it's just a weight. So we lay it down. You say, why? So we can run the race. And the Holy Spirit helps us discern that and do that. And John 16:7 was my next verse. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, Jesus did depart. He ascended up. Acts chapter 1, they crucified him first. They buried him. He rose from the grave. We just went through Easter. We talked about all that. And brother, there he is in Acts chapter 1. By Acts chapter 2, he's gone. And he ascends up into the heaven, and today he's seated at the right hand of the Father. You say, well, who takes his place? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. You say, are you saying the Holy Spirit was never here until that time? No, I'm saying he's been here from the beginning because he's part of the Godhead. You can go to the book of Genesis and see where the Spirit moved upon the waters and so on and so forth, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. He's always been there. But he didn't work in the capacity, it's not that he couldn't, but he didn't until the age of grace and the age of the church. And he has a sevenfold work in the church today. F.E. March has some wonderful material on the seven works of the Holy Spirit of God in the church age. And man, that's like, whew. And one of them is comforting the believer. One of them is guiding the believer. One of them's teaching the believer. See, the Holy Spirit of God, you say, well, I can't learn anything. If you got a Bible and you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's never made a mistake when a person is trying to navigate his way through the Word of God. Well, they were just taught wrong. I understand that. But you're obligated to be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You need to cultivate good reading practices and study practices. That'll help you in your Christian life. Christians deal with heartaches and trials just as unbelievers do. A lot of folks say, oh, you guys get saved, you don't go through anything. Oh, yeah, we do. We might go through more than the world goes through. You say, why? Because the devil's always mad at you. Amen. And this is his place. The world is his domain. Let me say that scripture. The world is his kingdom. Why do you think in Matthew chapter 4 or 5, wherever that was at, when Jesus was tempted of the devil in the wilderness and he offered him the kingdoms of this world, if he had just say, what business did he have offering Jesus the kingdom? Because he won them, he got them, he fought for them over there in the Garden of Eden, and they're his today. That's why when we say America's a Christian nation, that's a lot. That's a lot. But the world and the kings of this world basically belong to the devil. So Christians also deal with heartaches, trials, tribulations, and even more sometimes than the average lost person. You say, well, man, what do we do? Well, thank God for the Comforter. Thank God for the Holy Ghost of God. Because one thing you can say when the devil comes along and makes it so hard on you, you're trying to figure out what ends up, you just look at him and say, is all you're threatening me with death? Is it just death? Because if you die, you're going to heaven. If a lost person die, he's going to hell. So the devil, God will not let the devil put more on you than you can bear. Don't you like that? Where's that at? 1 Corinthians 10, 13. I'm getting old, guys, so give me a break here. I was using this verse when I was in school trying to pass tests. They slapped that algebra test down on my desk. Well, man, algebra, what's that? I don't know. I was trying to take it, 10, 13. This was my prayer. There hath no temptation taken you. I was tempted to cheat. No, let me get back to this. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. See, you prayed that? Yeah, I might have took it a little out of context, but I sweat those test I couldn't hardly pass. But that also works for all the craziness you got to go through in life down here, as we've said in our lessons. So I give you point number one. Point number two, I said, number one, he is the divine comforter. Number two, he guides you into all truth. Without him, we would be left to navigate our way through life's decisions and concerns on our own. But with the Holy Spirit, he can do some navigating for us. If we listen to the Holy Spirit, however, he will often bring scriptures and biblical principles to mind that speaks to the needs of our lives. Now, that's where the pastor comes in. That's where teachers come in. That's where evangelists come in. And we're there to help. Now, I've got my Bible turned to 1 John for some reason, but if I go back to Ephesians where I had taken my text, and if I go back to Ephesians chapter 4, and if I look down into chapter 4 at about verse 8, 9, 10, at verse 11, and he gave some, he's talking about administrations, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist, a missionary. They are gifts to the church, and the church is made up of people. So that's one of the reasons we come. And he says, and he gave some apostles in that day. Apostles are no more, but and that's Ephesians 2. And some prophets, but he puts them all in this group. And the prophets are gone. No Old Testament prophets. Now watch, here's us. There's actually not a colon there, but a semicolon. So the thought breaks. And that's right. That's right in your English. Because when you go back, the apostles and prophets have passed off the scene. Ephesians chapter 2. But now watch. He finishes the thought for you and makes a complete thought. And some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So he's broken it all down. You say, why? Watch it. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So sometimes we get to church and we come to church and, man, we're all beat down and beat up. You know. And then you get in on a little teaching, a little preaching, a little singing. Get around the camaraderie and the fellowship of the believers. And you don't have to say anything. You walk in, you're on the bottom. When you walk out, you feel like King Kong. You say, what happened? The Word of God around God's people, the fellowship, and the Holy Ghost of God, the Comforter. So you see us in here praising God, centering around the Word of God, singing praises to the Lamb of God. All of that has to do with the fortifying, the refurbishing, the tooling of the human being that's trying to live for God. And I need it. I like to get around folks. I like to come in and see Teddy's smiling face. What did he tell me this morning? He's trying to tell us something. He commenting, him and Miss Mary's commenting on them flowery dresses some of those grandkids had on and stuff. What'd you say, Teddy? You said you was pretty as a flower or something? Yeah, yeah, yeah. At 73, my recall isn't real good, but Teddy's only got me beat by a couple years. He remembered that. Anyway. So, Steve, gets a little wild in here. So anyway, so if we listen to the Holy Spirit, however, He will often bring the scripture, biblical principle to mind that speak to the needs of our lives. And you say, how do I get that? You might hear a word in a class. You might hear a word in the preaching. You might hear a word in the song service. But it'll all be biblically based, and there would be the principle of the Word of God that feeds your soul, helps your soul, fortifies you, encourages you, lifts you up, all those things, settles you, and helps you go away able to stand a little stronger. John 14:26, but the Comforter, and one of the power verses, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. That's how he does it. The Holy Ghost works off of information, the Word of God, and bring all things to your remembrance. Say, how does he do that? Well, the Holy Spirit has a power that we sell short sometimes. Sometimes we struggle within ourselves to work our own issues out. When the Lord says, just wait on me, I've got the plan for you. So he'll bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And brother, those things he has said unto you is the very word of God that we stand on, that we love, that we hold dear to. So part of his work is guiding us to help us understand the Bible. And the Bible's our roadmap. What do we sing that old song? I'm using my Bible for a roadmap. The children of Israel used it. You know, I don't know who wrote that or sang that, but those words ring true in my heart. We got a roadmap, a Bible. So he guides us and helps us understand the Bible. Remember, the Holy Spirit inspired the Bible. I thought this was kind of neat. Do you ever pick up a book? And I don't know if you're a reader. Some of us have read books before in our lives and pick up that book. If you pick up a book, you know, of any kind of historical, technical data of any kind, and say it holds your interest somehow, and you're reading that thing, and you say, man, what's he talking about here? I'd like to talk to him a couple minutes and find out what he means over here. And he's dead and gone, and all you got's his writings. That ain't the way it is with the Word of God. Because the author lives in you. And you can ask him, Lord, what do you mean with that right there? And he may say something like this. Well, just stay on the journey. It ain't quite meant for you to grasp that or understand that right now. But here's some things over here that you can understand. I remember stumbling across a verse of scripture in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, and it says, and the secret things belongeth unto the Lord. And he's just not going to tell you everything, or it wouldn't be the words of God. That's how great our God is. So I'm content sometimes not to know just everything, but I do have the privilege and the honor of knowing the author. Man, I look at that thing and I said, man, I've been reading that Bible 47 years now, trying to preach and teach And it's always new, it's always fresh, it's always good. And it always shows me something I never saw before. Say, why? That's supernatural. That's the Holy Spirit working in your life. So when you're confused about what the Bible means, remember to ask the author who's within you to help you study. Thirdly, that point was he strengthens you for service. We'd all like to think that we would like to try to serve God somehow. And by the way, there's many ways to serve God. And they might be minor, they might be minuscule, they might be small. But anytime you do anything for God, it's not small, it's a big thing. And it's honoring to God and it pleases God. You say, well, I can't do much, I can't sing, I can't. It's okay. Romans 15, Paul told the Roman folks over there, Romans chapter 15, about verse 13, he said, now the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace, and believing. And he's talking to the believer there and encouraging the believer to come along. He says, with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's a powerful verse. You may not have it all figured out. You may have a lot of troubles, struggles, problems as we all have gone through. There's probably nobody sitting here that hasn't gone through something. If we just have story time, I mean, you could tell me stuff that probably, you know what I'm saying. But you know what? The Holy Ghost of God already knows all that. And he's there to strengthen you. And it's in the hope that we have. And a hope here is not a wishful thinking. It's solid. It's solidified. And then Ephesians 3:16, Paul, the same writer writing to the Ephesians, that he would grant you. What? He's going to give you something? Yeah, he's going to grant you according to the riches of his glory. And here's what we need. To be strengthened. And that's to every child of God. Strengthened with might by his, how's he going to do it? Spirit in the inner man. Yeah. You've heard people say, well, I'm going to dig down deep and I'm going to accomplish this. I'll dig to the bottom of my soul and get to, I'm going to do this. You know how, what greater thought than to know that down deep in your soul is the Holy Ghost of God that can strengthen you in the inner man. I don't know if you'll swing out over hell on a rotten grapevine with a squirt gun, but he'll strengthen you and you'll get through another day and another day and another day and another day. And pretty soon, you'll get up, the birds are singing, the sun's shining. You say, what is that? Strength that only comes from the Comforter himself. And Paul talks about it here in Romans and in Ephesians. And lastly, I'll touch on this. He empowers your witness. A lot of times I think Christians feel like they fail so miserably when it comes time to try to tell somebody something about the Lord. And we'll muster up all the strength we can muster in our own efforts and our own energies and our own skills and our own abilities. And it just falls flat. That's another area that the Holy Spirit works in your witness. And we're all to be witnesses. We're all to be ultimately trying to help someone along the way. Say, well, these people just didn't want to hear. Then, I don't know, dust off your feet and go on to the next door. Everybody won't want to hear it. And I know firsthand of 47 years of preaching, I heard it. When my kids were all little, 7 kids, my own family say, Philip, he's crazy. He's fanatic. He don't come around no more. Yeah, if you're drinking and cussing and carrying on, I ain't bringing my kids around that. No, I ain't coming. Well, he's going to ruin them kids. He go, man, when they get out on their own, they're going to go wild. I worried about that. I prayed about that. I said, God, don't let me be some kind of an idiot. And I tried to stay the course and kept on going and kept on going and kept on going. If I read this Bible right, Paul commended Timothy because of
his mother, and not only his mother who had taught him the scripture, but his grandmother who was before her had taught him the scripture. And I see that there's a sequence to the person that would serve God. And they might could live to see their children and then their grandchildren serve God. That's a comfort to my soul. And now as an old man, I'm living to see some of that. Living to see some of that. That's a blessed man. Say, well, that's how I know it works. Amen. He empowers your witness. In Acts 1, he said this, but ye shall receive power. What? Now, wait a minute. In Acts 1, Jesus was ascending, and he's telling those followers that were there about him, right there watching him ascend. He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come. And we know he was coming, and he was supposed to come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Say, what's going on here? He said, when the Comforter comes, after I ascend and he comes, he's going to empower you to be witnesses. Yeah. Guess what? We don't witness in our own strength. Yeah. I talked to somebody at the airport. I didn't even say anything to anybody here. I set out. The plane was delayed when I went to pick up the kids. So I sat outside. It was cooler. And a kid come up to me and he sit down. And he said, well, you flying out today, sir? And he was probably 25 or 6. And I said, no, I'm not flying out anywhere, no. And he said, I ain't either. I said, well, you waiting on somebody? He says, no, I'm not waiting on anybody. And I'm thinking to myself, what the heck you doing at CVG if you ain't flying out or waiting on somebody? So I knew I had a live one going on. Yeah, Stevie works over there. He had a big old long string of beads. I don't know what they were. He going through them beads, you know, and I had no idea. And he says, well, he said, who are you waiting for? I said, he ain't going to shut up. And the Lord says, well, give him a track or something. You want to shut somebody up? Give him a track. This about God? I said, yeah. They'll tell you how to miss hell and go to heaven. Looking at you like, you're the crazy one. When I knew I had a live one. And are you some kind of a preacher or something? I said, well, yeah, matter of fact, first let me start here. I'm a born-again Christian. I'm saved. I didn't have no power. But you got to figure out when you got a gray-headed 73-year-old man sitting on a bench outside twiddling his thumbs, you know. At least I wasn't drooling. And you got this young kid over here. Following them beads, I don't know what he was doing. And you give them a track of some kind, and they start reading that track, and on the back of that card I gave him, it had Romans 10, 9, and 10. And he said, well, what's this? I said, that's the gospel. He said, what's the gospel? And I explained it to him. Say, I didn't go there to witness. I didn't go there to try to be a witness. But you know what? Once you're saved and the Holy Spirit gives you, and I knew that once I began to talk like that, I knew God had the upper hand. This guy, I don't know what he believed. I don't know where he was from. I don't know where he was going. He didn't know who he was, and he didn't know where he was going. But when I left there, he knew this. If he was lost, he was going to hell. If he gets saved, he's going to heaven. You say, what is that? That's the power to witness. I don't have that ability. I'm out of time, but could I tell you this? I don't like people. When he sit down there, he said, can I sit here? I said, go ahead. Then when he started talking, I said, I'm a moron magnet. Anyway, I've been accused of that all my life.
So I just try to witness to them. I figure if the Word of God can't help them, they can't be helped. So empowers you to witness, last verse, Acts 5:32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And he's given himself to you, and if we obey him, he can work in your life, and he can help you to be a witness. He can help you to have comfort. He can help you to be strong. You say, what is that? That's the doctrine of the work of the Holy Spirit of God, and I've only touched the surface. Thank you for your time. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a lesson. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Ghost of God that dwells in the believer today, dwells inside me and gives me comfort, peace, and strength. I pray, God, now that we would listen to you and we'd walk in the light of your word and the light of your accomplishments in the light of your endeavor and in the light of your will. Bless now as the preaching begins, as the singing begins, as the singers sing, the musicians play, and the folks come in. Bless a special blessing. Save that one that's nearest hell. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it. Amen. God bless you. Good morning.